This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague, Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently Defining Ideas about taxation, much in the news because the president's address, the ambition for the Biden administration, the heavy burden of the spending during the pandemic and after, all of that leads us to the taxation story one more time. Richard has written in Defining Ideas the theory of taxation that benefits, the benefits of taxation. Richard, a very good evening to you. All right. Yeah. Taxes are not all bad. There are positive things about taxation. What are they? Good evening to you.
Okay. Well, look, the basic theory of taxation stems from the fact that markets are unable to provide certain kinds of collective goods. And those goods are fairly varied. They are a system of law and order. They're a system of public defense. They're a system of infrastructure in the narrow sense of roads and highways and so forth. And these have to be funded. If you seek to get voluntary contributions, everybody's going to say after you. And by the time all these people are done, nothing will happen. And so you then have to be able to fund these things by a coercive mechanism. But coercive mechanisms are always dangerous because you could use them to take from one group of individuals and give it to another. And so that in the founding period, democracy, as used in opposition to a Republican form of government, was always thought to be a degenerate form because the majority could wipe out the minority by imposing whatever taxes or regulations on it or whatever confiscations it want to and keep all the benefits for itself. Well, the benefit of theory of taxation is a way of trying to stop this particular element. And the theory says, look, if you have a public good worth $1,000 and it's going to cost you $500, what you do is you prorate the cost across all individuals by some particular metric so that essentially you get the social surplus, but you don't allow one group to wipe out another. The most simple measure of this is the measure of income that you have in any particular period. And so essentially the benefit theory of taxation says that you're supposed to impose taxes on individuals. And hopefully if you get the calculations right and you keep the flat taxes relatively flat, what will happen is everybody will prosper from the situation. If you think about this as a serious theory, what they're trying to do is to replicate the outcome that you would get by a contract that operated by unanimous consent without all the holdout and difficult problems. The issue is you're trying to maximize the size of the gain, and in order to do that, typically you have to have a very clear metric of taxation. A flat tax on income of consumption is usually the best test for that. The alternative theory, which is put forward, is an ability to pay. And that's just another fancy way of saying what we should do is to tax the rich, make them pay, and then, in effect, give the benefits of those particular taxations to anybody but them, or to give them a smaller fraction of them while other people get a larger fraction. So that creates a major form of political instability. You're going to get people resisting taxes, which give them no benefits, and you're going to have other people abandoning productive activities in order to clamor for taxation on other individuals. So the more the skew that you get, the more the political divisions will start to take place. And the Biden tax, of course, is an absolute archetype of what I regard as a very dangerous form of taxation. You pick a very small group, you try to isolate it and impose a huge tax upon them. What the Biden people regard as a virtue, i.e. only 0.3% of the entire population will have to pay more than before, is, I think, a vice of the system. It's an effort, essentially, to concentrate all the losses on a small group. And not only is it, I think, it's kind of a theft-like behavior, but it's also counterproductive. The way the system eventually works, if you tax the rich, the poor will have to pay.
Let's divide the ambitions of the Biden administration into two pieces. I know they all come together, but the rhetoric is two pieces. One, tax the rich, pay their fair shares. The other one is tax the corporations, pay their fair shares. I want to start with the corporations. Right now, it's a 20%, I believe. The Biden administration is proposing 28%. That doesn't sound profound, Richard, is it?
Oh, God, yes. It's huge because essentially what it does is it amounts to about a 35 or 40% increase in tax. And what happens is it basically lays bare the falsehood that the taxes in question will only fall on the very, very rich. It is clear that if you have money in pension funds, what happens is that the growth inside the pension fund is generally tax-free. But if what happens is you impose this large tax, everybody who has shares in those corporations is going to be poorer, including all the individuals of varying wealth, who have interest in these kinds of corporations. So you cannot, when you have corporations, confine the tax to the top 0.1% of the population unless they're the only people who own shares. So what you do is you start to reduce things for everybody. And then it has a synergistic effect. As the earnings from the corporation start to go down because of the heavy taxes for which there are no return benefits, the share prices go down. That means when you want to catch capital gains at the outsized rank that Mr. Biden wants to put them at, there's just going to be fewer capital gains to tax because you already soaked the money up at the corporate level. And hence, therefore, what will follow is that you will fail in your overall tax objectives and you will fail in your overall distribution objectives because you'll never be able to confine the tax to the group of individuals that you want. Then you're going to have to borrow money on the public fisc, and that's going to have to be paid for out of future taxation and so forth. But it's going to be very difficult when you borrow money and you try to figure out how you get the interest. If you've got massive debt, to figure out how you're going to take a shrinking population of billionaires and use it to fund the entire operation. The Biden people seem to assume that wealth creation will remain absolutely constant when they throw these taxes on there. There will be no diminution in power. All they're doing is having distribution separate from public from production. That is a strategy that never, never works. And so what's happened is we really are faced here with a major kind of danger. Imposing these taxes will be disastrous. Running the standing without the disastrous will start running up the debt. Basically, what you have to recognize is governments have to live within their means, because if they do not, even if they have the capacity to print money, they don't have the capacity to avoid runaway inflation if it should come to that, or high taxation if it should come to that. You cannot, in effect, create more wealth in any society for distribution if, in fact, what you do is you punish wealth creation.
You will recall in our conversations about California many years ago when, I believe it was Jerry Brown's administration, there was proposals to raise taxes, and we talked about voting with your feet. Corporations were exiting California. We see that now in full blossom. Texas and Florida have gained those corporate officers leaving California. However, as I recall, we've also discovered that the well-to-do can adjust their circumstances. And I believe in the second Obama administration, there was much, with Mr. Biden as vice president, there was much talk about punishing corporations who were exfiltrating the country. They were leaving. They were moving their tax base somewhere else. Do you anticipate that that will happen again?
Well, I think, A, it will happen, and, B, I think there'll be strenuous efforts to stop it. If you want one harbinger, look back to the now-defunct Elizabeth Warren plan for a wealth tax. She understood that it would lead to an exit of capital, and her program was to tax at 40% anybody who tried to take capital out of the country. If it turned out they were subject to the wealth tax. You have to remember, when you start imposing exit taxes on people, what you are saying, in effect, is you have no confidence whatsoever that your institutions are favorable enough to their growth and development that they will want to stay. Exit taxes are a prime device of countries like East Germany and Russia and so forth, because essentially they realize that they cannot keep people in there by what they have to offer them. So instead of giving them benefits, as the benefit theory of taxation will do, what they do is they double up on the kind of heavy fist that they're going to impose upon them. This is not going to work. The wealth will then shrink. And in addition to that, it will be almost impossible to get foreign wealth to come into the United States if they realize that the exit upon success will be subject to those kinds of taxation. So what you'll see is that people will start to do things that will be genuinely counterproductive. One of the things that will happen is you'll spur certain kinds of retirements from people. Or they will engage in more non-pecuniary charitable activities that don't generate any wealth because they're trying to minimize the burden upon them. When you do this, the law of unintended consequences always takes over. The Biden administration seems to be oblivious to that. One of the things that's so tragic about this, it's not that they've given any evidence that they've considered the cost and decided that the trade-off is worth it. What all that they've been able to show is they've ignored the cost and that the trade-offs will not be worth what they hope that they can cane out of this situation. Right now, I mean, we are in la-la land for a very simple reason. As the virus starts to ebb and the economy starts to open up. There's a huge backlog in demand that stimulates spending, and there's a huge kind of production that is taking place. The economy is now roughly back to what it was in March of 2020. But if you put the tax program in, what it will do is it will make that curve bend backwards. And within 6 months or a year, the taxes will dominate the recovery, and you're likely to see not perhaps a recession, but certainly a genuine truncation of wealth. Remember, you know, the Obama administration specialized in high taxes, relatively low growth rates compared to the Trump administration. And interestingly enough, high taxes tended to lead to fewer jobs and fewer wage increases under Obama than it was under the Trump policy. Adam Smith had it right. Low broad taxes are the way to run a government.
Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.